In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing, and we're on volume 16, February 24th, 1924. And Jesus is speaking to Louisa about this great gift of the divine will. And he says this, Jesus added, I am not like the kings of the earth who deal with the great. I love more dealing with the little ones because they are more docile and they attribute nothing to themselves, but everything to my goodness. So here Jesus is saying that as a great king, he loves the little ones, not the great ones. And again, this is so wonderful to hear that our Lord has got great plans for humanity. And he's not like human kings. He's not here to levy taxes, he says. He's not here to give great burdens for us to do. He says, I love more dealing with the little ones because they are more docile and they attribute nothing to themselves. But everything to my divine goodness. So here, God is showing us that he's calling us not to be of the world. He said that. He says, you know how they lord it over one another. He says, it's not to be that way among the disciples, among the apostles. And so what the Lord is doing is he's reordering everything. He's getting everything ready for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He's getting everything ready for the new heavens and the new earth, as Our Lady has been telling us throughout the centuries, to get ready for the return of her Son. When you read what Our Lady has said in her apparitions, she basically says we have to get back to prayer. We have to get back to her Son. And again, this is one of the main things that the priests are called to do, is spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in more especially in front of the monstrance, to fall in love with God. The priest, his prayer life, as St. Francis says, our prayer, if you're not joy filled, you're not praying properly. When we are in the presence of our God, As a good father, Jesus, father of the age to come, as a good father, Jesus plays with us. He loves to delight in his children. And this is one of the things that is so amazing about our God. And you learn this from Louisa. She will always say, you know, are you joking with me? And the Lord would just, you know, chuckle. No, I'm not, I want to tell you what I have planned. And that's when we read the writings of Louisa. This is about a new beginning for humanity. So he says, what he's looking for in us is to be more docile, to attribute nothing to ourselves, but everything to the glory of God. We don't go around, you know, I'm a bad person. I'm no good. I am little. He is great. I am nothing. He is everything. You know, it's to focus on him with joy and happiness. He is our God. He's our Savior. He's our King. He's our Master. He's our everything. And this is what the Lord wants. He says, humanity has been told by their human will, basically, that you've got to be good. You've got to be something. You've got to be powerful. You've got to be strong. You've got to be, and Jesus says, I am the one that's strong. I am the one that's powerful. I am the one who's the Lord, not you. And so what he's teaching Louisa is how to become a saint. That's volume 1 through volume 10, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. And if we haven't studied the saints, if we haven't really gotten into the beauty of the saints, the delight of the saints, we've got work to do, because you have to become a saint in order to live in the divine will. Okay, what does that mean? We've got to be little hidden and insignificant. That's what Father Bucci would always say to us. You know, you've got to be little, you've got to be hidden, you've got to be insignificant, because God doesn't love, he doesn't like the proud. He says he loves the ones that are little. That's why he loved Louisa so much. I mean, Louisa, I remember once, a number of times, but one in particular where Jesus said, Louisa, there's one in this world who's doing my will, who's living my will, who's going to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And Louisa says, show me who this person is. Let me know who this person is. And Jesus goes, it's you, Louisa. And she says, I'm nobody. I'm nothing. He says, how can you use me? I am absolutely no good at anything. And Jesus says, but that's why I need you. That's why I want you. I'm going to do the work in you. And see, that's what St. Louis de Montfort says. They'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world. And it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. See, the saints have always been, building churches, building churches, building hospitals, building, schools, building convents, building rectories, building orphanages. And Jesus says, now it's my turn. He says, watch what I'm going to do. So he says, the more docile you are, the more you attribute nothing to yourself, but everything to my divine goodness. He says, but in spite of this, I too have chosen a priest of mine to assist you, Louisa, in this state of yours. So he's now showing us the importance of the priesthood. I have chosen a priest of mine to assist you in this state of yours. As much as you prayed me to free you from the priest's daily coming. See, the priest had to come every morning. See, every night, Louisa would turn rigid. She would just be like a stone, petrified. And nobody could move her. Father Bucci said some nights she would be reaching to pull the curtain, and that would be the time that Jesus would take her and tour the universe with her, show her all the things that he is going to do in the universe in the days to come. And she would be right at this position all night long, and nobody could move her arm. Nobody could lift her. She weighed out like a cement block. No one could move her until the priest came every morning, and the priest would bless her and say, Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One. And then she would come back to her senses. And she said to Jesus, please don't let me bother the priest. You do this, Jesus. You come and free me so we don't have to bother the priest. And Jesus, in spite of this, I have chosen a priest of mine to assist you in the state of yours, as much as you prayed to me to free you from his daily coming. She didn't want to bother the priest. She said, Jesus, you do this. Don't let anybody know what's happening with me. I don't want anybody to know anything. She says, I did not listen to you, Jesus said. And even if you were no longer subject to falling back into that state, I shall not permit you to lack the priest's assistance. So the priesthood, Jesus shows us, is necessary for the divine will more than anything that you could imagine. The priest, Jesus says, this is the sacrament of sacraments. Jesus says that what is going to be given to the world will be given to the world through his holy church, through the priesthood. And this is one thing that a lot of people don't understand, because they say, well, Louisa wasn't a priest. And it's like, no, she was something else. Let me clue you. And Jesus used the priests. She taught the priests how to learn this gift. And this is why St. Honorable de Francia, basically on his deathbed, said, all I want is to possess this gift. All I want is to live this gift of the divine will that Jesus has given to Louisa. And this is what we're going to discover. This was the reason why you have one of my priests, that he might be aware of the law of my divine will. Okay, so we're learning about this law of God, okay? This life of God, this love of God, He says, this was the reason for you having one of my priests, that he might be aware of the law of my divine will, and knowing my teachings, he would be witness and depository of a law so holy. So what he has done is he's the Lord has deposited in this priest everything that he taught Luisa. See, the priesthood is greatly needed when for the divine will to reign. Yeah, Jesus calls it the sacrament of sacraments. Father Bucci would say that for a layman to say, I don't have the Eucharist, and go to an altar and say with bread and wine, this is my body, this is my blood, now I have the Eucharist, he said, would be foolishness. There's no ordination. There's no ontological change. This is just, it wouldn't work. He says it's the same thing with the divine will. For a layperson to teach the divine will, to give this first bread out, Father Bucci would say, it doesn't make sense. And I know a lot of people say, well, there's no priests around, so I have to do it. That's not what Jesus says. He makes it very, very clear. He says, this was the reason for which you have one of my priests, that he might be aware of the law of my divine will, and knowing my teachings, he would be witness and depository of a law so holy. And as my faithful priest, he would publish in my church the great good that I want to do into the church by making my holy divine will known. So here Jesus says about St. Honorable de Francia that this priest was given the knowledge of the divine will so that it would be published. Okay, so the volume 1 through volume 19 was published in Italian and in German. Father Bede in Germany at the Benedictine Monastery in Bavaria, where Pope Benedict went as a child. And, you know, you can see in the mind of God, you can see how God has planned everything so perfectly well. At the time of the life of Father Bede was this young boy who would be Pope Benedict. And he chose the title Benedict because he learned a lot at that monastery, the Benedictine Monastery in Bavaria. And I have this feeling that when Father Bede saw this young boy, said, here is someone that I could teach about the divine will to, because Father Bede was, he really was excited about this gift. He was so excited that he went to Italy, talked to Luisa, learned from Luisa, translated from Italian into German, the book 1 through 19. And so the Germans had this first. God has great plans for Germany, he says, to Luisa. What is wonderful is the reason for Luisa to have one of Jesus's priests was that the priest may be aware of the law of my divine will, this doctrine of the divine will, and knowing my teachings, he would be a witness and depository of a law so holy, of a doctrine so holy. And as my faithful priest, he would publish in my church the great good that I, God, want to do to the church by making my holy divine will known. And we heard last week, he says, you cannot understand all the good, all the light, all the strength contained in each word that Jesus spoke, but your Jesus knows it. And knows the ones, these are the priests who must serve, and the good that the divine will must do to the Holy Church. Now, as he was saying me this, he showed me a table in the middle of the church, and all the writings about the divine will were placed upon it, and many venerable people surrounded that table and became transformed into light and divinized. That's an event that's going to take place, I hope someday soon, because what God is going to do is he's going to show this doctrine of the divine will to all the world. And what he's going to do is he's going to use the Holy Church to bring this about. And so this is another very, very important thing to remember. In volume 10, he says, basically what God is going to do is he's going to bring the houses of the resurrection of the faith. Okay. And that's going to be the name of these houses, the houses of the resurrection of the faith. For the rules, they will use the same rules as the oratory of St. Philip Neri. Okay. What does this mean? Things are going to change. Things are going to be different. And it's not to be doom and gloomers, but to recognize since God is in charge, I can't wait to see what he's going to do. He knows we are in need. He knows that, that the church has to be purified. Jesus says the divine will is so great. The church must be purified. The world must be purified. And that's what's happening today. And so God has plans. So think about this when you're praying. How does God want the houses of the resurrection of the faith to begin? How is God going to plan this? What is God asking? And I can guarantee you that each priest that's listening, God is giving them a plan, a part of a plan, not the whole plan, because he doesn't work like that. It's little by little. And as priests get together in the divine will, the Lord is going to reveal this plan to those priests who are willing to give their fiat to what God has planned. So great things are coming. Okay. As my faithful priest, he would publish in my church the great good that I, God, want to do to the church by making my divine will known. So great things are right around the corner. And again, not to get upset about what's happening, not to panic. The final devotion Jesus said to give to my church before I return is divine mercy. That's what he said to St. Faustina. So this Jesus, I trust in you, is necessary for today. Things are going to get dark. Things are going to get bumpy. But again, Jesus says, I have predestined you to live at this time. Why? Because he is going to use us in a way that's going to astonish the world, astonish us, but astonish the world. The church is, he says, is going to be more beautiful than ever before. He's getting rid of the stains of the church. He's getting rid of the wrinkles on the gown, wedding gown of the bride of Christ. He's getting everything ready. And what we're going through, this purging that we're going through is necessary. Jesus says, he says, we have to go through this for the kingdom to be established. Now he doesn't go into detail. He says very clearly, these are the things that the church has to go through. But he just mentions it because it's like he said in scripture, it's like a woman giving birth. The pains are going to be more intense. They're going to be more frequent until the child is born, until the kingdom is established. And it's a natural thing because of our fallen nature. God is going to win, and great things are right around the corner. This is so great. Listen to this. Volume 18, 11, 5, 19, 25. The ordination constitutes a man to a supreme height, to a divine character, to the repeater of my life, the administer of the sacraments, the revealer of my secrets, of my gospel, of the most sacred science, the peacemaker between heaven and earth, the bearer of Jesus to souls. We have forgotten the priesthood, the power of the priesthood. The ordination constitutes a man to a supreme height, to a divine character. And it's not to be, you know, patted on the back for. The priest didn't do anything. God is doing this. The repeater of my life. Okay. So if we are to be the repeater of Jesus's life, we have to spend time with him to learn from him how to live. And that means we must be with him, most especially by being with Christ who's in the monstrance, looking at Jesus. It's not a place to be reading a book. It's not a place to be looking at your watch and going, well, I got five more minutes. It's a place to fall in love with Jesus It's a place to fall in love with God. So people say, how do you fall in love with God? Well, you start out with an I love you, and you repeat it and you repeat it and you repeat it until you live it. You have to fall in love with our Eucharistic Lord. You have to spend time with him. There's no way to possess the divine will without being with Jesus. He speaks to us every day. He says, I mean, listen to what he's saying about the ordination. Constitutes a man to supreme height, to a divine character, to the repeater of my life, the administer of the sacraments. And Jesus says, this is the sacrament of sacraments. The administer of the sacraments, the revealer of my secrets. And that's what he says to Luisa. I give to you, Luisa, the secrets of the Holy Spirit, the treasures of the Holy Spirit that have not been revealed until this point. It's to learn how to pray. This is why Pope St. John Paul II said at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia in 2004, he said, we're now going to enter a new and divine way of holiness, a new and divine way of holiness. And he wants to give this to the priesthood. He wants to give this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, Luisa Picaretta and the divine will, to all of humanity. He says, but I'm going to use the priest to do this. My secrets, my gospel, the most sacred science, the peacemakers between heaven and earth, the bearers of Jesus' souls are the priests. That's the priest's job. It's not to be a buddy-buddy. It's not to be one of the gang. It's to be, as Jesus says, to constitute a supreme height, the divine character, the repeater of my life. The administer of the sacraments, the revealer of my secrets, the revealer of my gospel, the revealer of the most sacred science, the peacemaker between heaven and earth, the bearer of Jesus to souls. The priest has a very important duty and responsibility to Christ himself. And unfortunately today, the priests are going to a lot of meetings, and the rectories are empty. A lot of meetings and the hospitals are full. The psychiatric units are full. The prisons are full. Our job as a priest is to free everyone with the power of the priesthood. This is the repeater of Jesus's life. This is one of the reasons why it's important to learn about the angelic and be aware of the demonic. The angelic are magnificent creatures who will help the priest in every situation. You'll help all of mankind in every situation, but especially the priesthood, especially the powers. The powers are in the center, the fifth choir. The powers of will help the priest in every situation that they're in. It doesn't matter how desperate the situation is. The angels are there to help the priests. And the more we learn about the angels, the more we call upon the angels, the more we trust in their help for the priests, amazing things begin to happen. We're entering into a new era. We have to understand that. We're entering into a new era where, the supernatural is going to basically be a more normal situation for the priesthood. We can see this by what's happening all around us. And our job as priests, Jesus says, is to learn most especially know my teachings, be aware of the law, be of my will, to be a witness to the depository of the law that is so holy that the church will make this known to the world. The church will grow in this new era, this divine life, that as Pope St. John Paul II said, a new and divine way of holiness. We haven't seen anything yet. Jesus tells Louisa, creation is not completed yet. Redemption is not completed yet. He says, what is needed is that we need to begin to possess creation, possess redemption. He says, so that we can give to God all the glory that God rightly deserves as God. It's not just to, work. The priesthood isn't work. It's the life of Jesus. And this is what Jesus is going to do. I can guarantee you, you're going to experience things that the saints only dreamed of. That this is what's coming. So Jesus says this, the ordination is the sacrament that encloses all the other sacraments together, especially the sacrament of sacraments, this great gift of the divine will. Therefore, if the ordained one is able to preserve whole within himself this character of supreme height, this divine character that he has received, he shall almost place all the other sacraments in safety. He shall be the defender of the Savior of Jesus himself. And Savior, sorry, he shall be the defender and the Savior of Jesus himself. We have to understand that things aren't just happening because they're falling apart. Things are happening because God has plans, and these plans are going to be completed. God wins. God, he's everything. He's going to do this. So what the priest is going to learn, what the seminarians are going to learn is the ordination is the sacrament that encloses all the other sacraments together. Therefore, if the ordained one is able to preserve whole within himself the supreme height of a divine character that he has received, he shall almost place all the other sacraments in safety. He shall be the defender and savior of Jesus himself. The Lord has this planned, and what he is going to do is, I mean, listen to the prophecy of Pope Benedict when he was, a priest or even maybe a bishop. What he says is the church is going to shrink down to nothing. And all the great places are going to be empty. He says, and then from that small remnant, the church will grow more beautiful than it's ever grown before. It'll be more spectacular than what we could ever have imagined. This has to happen. This purification has to take place. And God has chosen us to be the ones to go through it. Okay, so that's why when you look at the lives of the saints, look at Saint Joan of Arc, a 16-year-old girl, leading an army into battle and defeating another army. And what did she say? She says, I was born for this time. We are born for this time. And Jesus is, as a matter of fact, in today's readings, if you're reading the calendar, Jesus today talks about how he wants us to be officers, how he wants us to, he talks to Louisa and he says to Louisa, you have to be my soldier. You have to be willing to serve. You have to be willing to fight. And the fighting is with weapons of love, not with weapons of blood. It's weapons of love. And Jesus shows Louisa that what he has planned is to be on guard, to be ready, to be vigilant, to have zeal for the glory of God. And so that's why he's saying to us, he's really asking us, Can you give your fiat to what I'm going to ask of you? And that's the very first thing that God asks. You know, I'm inviting you, to Jesus says. Can you say yes to this? You know, he's not going to force us to say yes. I mean, he wants us to say yes. He needs us to say yes. And we were created for this time. We were predestined for this time where it looks like everything is falling apart. But it's really not falling apart. God's getting everything in order. Everything is falling into place. He needs us to understand that it's not meetings that is going to help. It's not meetings. It's him. And if we spend time with him, like I said, in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of the monstrance, falling in love with God, God is going to take care of everything. Because he's going to do it. This is why we're alive today. So he needs us to cooperate. And the first thing that disappears from priests is prayer life. So you have to discipline yourself to pray. I mean, I mentioned it once before, but when I was in the seminary, Bishop Sheen came in the chapel and knelt in the back of the chapel for one straight hour, staring at the Blessed Sacrament, staring at the tabernacle. And the seminarians were all running around. I mean, they were, it was like a madhouse because the bishop was there. And I was astonished that nothing distracted him. The noise, the laughter, you know, all that was all around him. I mean, we were outside the chapel and trying to get everything ready and that nobody knew what to do. So he focused that hour in total silence. He was totally silent amid all the turmoil that was around him. And it was like, he's used to this. He was used to all the distraction, but it was away from him. His whole time was focused on loving Jesus. That's what we have to get back to. We have to get back to being alone with Jesus every day for at least an hour, at least an hour. And when we read the Book of Heaven, what happens is Jesus is speaking to us. He's telling us how to live. He's showing us, he's like he says right here, he's showing us knowing his teachings, aware of his law, a witness to the depository of the law that is so holy, to be his faithful priest, that we in his church make the great good that Jesus wanted to do in the church by learning, studying, and putting into practice the divine will to make it known. So the next part here is really important. Volume 19, 615, 1926. And since my divine will wants to establish its kingdom in the midst of peoples, through you, Louisa, I want to deposit the celestial doctrine in my priests as my new apostles. So when Louisa said to Jesus, she says, I don't see any priests. Jesus said, I use 12. If I have to get back to 12, I'll use 12 again. He says, but the church is going to be renewed. The kingdom is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. And he says, I'm going to use my priest to do this. I want to deposit this celestial doctrine in my priests. I want you to deposit this doctrine in my priests as my new apostles so that first, I may form in them the link of connection with my divine will. Okay, the link is Louisa. No other person was given the doctrine of the divine will in all of the church history. When you listen to the DVD, Dawn of a Mystery, when you listen to Archbishop Piceri talk about this gift, he says no one in the history of the church explained how the kingdom is going to come on earth as it is in heaven, how the Our Father is going to be fulfilled. He says, this is Luis's job. And at the end of the 9 years of study, intense study, they presented to the Vatican, we believe Luisa should be canonized. And all the people who have read Luisa, who've really read all of Luisa, thank God that they had the opportunity to read and study this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. Listen to what Jesus says. And since my will wants to establish its kingdom in the midst of peoples through you, Luisa, I want to deposit the celestial doctrine in my priests as my new apostles, so that first I may form with them the link of connection with my divine will. This means Luisa. And then they may transmit it into the midst of the peoples. This breath that Jesus breathed into Luisa, this Ruah of God, this breath of God, this breath of the Holy Spirit that filled Luisa, he says he's going to give to the church. If it were not so, or were it not to be so, I would not insist so much on having you write. And she wrote for, 70 years? 50 years she wrote. She wrote for 50 years. 50 years. Close to 50. She didn't want to write a thing. That's the humility of the Luisa. She says, Lord, I don't want my name on this. this is between you and me. I don't want anybody to know about this. And Jesus says they have to know the one who speaks. They have to know the one who I spoke to, so that they can understand that humans can have this. He says, if I give it to you, I want to give it to everybody. So he says to Luisa, they have to know you. And Luisa says, I'm nobody. I'm nothing. I'm ignorant. She says, I'm crippled. I'm in bed. What can I do? Jesus says, you have to be the one. That I have asked to write and you said fiat. We're now asked to read and it's fiat. We're asked to read this. And when I read write, I change the word to read. So what Luisa writes, we are to read. What Luisa meditated on, we're to meditate on. We're to make it our own. When I was in the Secret Archives of the Vatican, the imprints of Luisa's thumbs, the imprint of her thumbprint was on the pages. She was focused on reading what Jesus told her. We have to learn this. This is something that this doctrine of the divine will, Jesus says, you have to learn this. And this is what he's saying. He says, if it were not so, or if it were not to be so, I would not have insisted so much on having you, Luisa, write, nor would I have permitted the daily coming of the priest. But I would have left it all. I would have left all my work between me and you. Therefore, be attentive. And then when Jesus says, be attentive to me, he's saying, read. Be attentive to what I'm saying. And leave me free to do what I want in you. And that's what he says to the priests. It's the same thing. Therefore, be attentive and leave me free as a God to do what I want to do in you. And that's with every priest, every deacon, every seminarian. He says, I want you to learn this. Every bishop, I want you to learn this. I want you to study this, because things are going to change. Things are going to be different. And he says, because the time is for it to happen now. Okay, let's just think about Our Lady of Revelation, an approved apparition in the church in Rome in 1947 to Bruno, the Bruno who was going to kill the Pope. He had a knife, and on the knife it says to kill the Pope. He wanted to kill Pope Pius XII. And that's a whole story there in itself, because of that era, that area that Our Lady appeared in. And she said to Bruno, she said, time has now come to an end. And, Bruno says, the end of the world? And Our Lady says, no, the end of this era. That was 40 days after Luisa died. Now think about it. 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven. 40 days after Luisa died, Our Lady descended to earth and said, time's up. And we have to understand that it's not the end. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of this new era where Pope St. John Paul II said, get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. Get ready for, what did he say? Begin entering into a new divine way of holiness. Padre Pio said, in the third millennium, the church and the world will focus on Luisa Picaretta. And he said about Luisa, Luisa is a second sun. Now think of the sun going down in the west and a new sun coming up in the east, where she will give light and life to everyone and everything. There will be no more darkness. We have to understand that this is not going to continue the way it's going. God is going to intervene. He has to. And what he says to Luisa is what he's bringing is the new heavens and the new earth, which Our Lady says to get ready for. When you read the Book of Heaven, every day Jesus will reveal to you divine secrets, divine treasures that will help you with sacred scripture. Sacred scripture comes alive when because all of a sudden you go, this is why Jesus did this, why he said this, why he did this, you know, 2,000 years ago. With your breviary comes alive. I mean, the teachings of the saints come alive. You go, boy, they were close. They were really close to what God is going to do. And because Jesus is going to explain more in the breviary every day. When you pray, like the Canticle of Zechariah, to be the promise to Abraham was to be freed from the enemy when Jesus died on the cross. The second, free to worship God without fear. That's us in front of the Blessed Sacrament. None of us are terrified. We're God Almighty. We're receiving God Almighty. The second promise is fulfilled. The third promise to in Zechariah, the third promise to Abraham is to be holy and righteous in God's sight all the days of our life. God alone is holy. God alone is righteous. And what God is going to do is he makes everything come alive because he's wrapping this up. The kingdom is coming. He says, after the 2,000 years of prayer, I'm ready to bring the kingdom on earth. Who, he says, wants to work with me? Luisa says, I do. And then we say, I do. God, it doesn't matter what it looks like out there. What matters is what Jesus is going to do within. That's why he says this. He says this, therefore, be attentive and leave me free as a God to do what I, God, want in you. Great things are coming. Great things are happening. And he's asked us to begin to understand a new and divine way of holiness. So I'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Luisa. And we pray for all the little children, the holy divine will, to become divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you.